Now, how many of you here have ever planted something before? Like planting a seed in the soil. Okay, what have you planted?
Potatoes.
Okay. Why do we plant seeds? What's the whole point of planting things? What are we looking forward to when we plant something? If you plant potatoes, you're looking forward to eating potatoes. Yeah. You want the harvest, don't you? You're looking forward to the seed growing up to become a plant, and for that plant to produce something, either flowers if it's an ornamental plant, or leaves or fruit if it's a vegetable or a fruit tree. Now, I remember when I went to school, I went to an agricultural school, so we had to go down the farm every so often each week. And it was okay going down the farm. It was a bit like not doing much at times. But the best time down the farm was when there was something to harvest. Now, harvesting corn was pretty good because I like corn. But out of all the things we harvested, the beans were the best. Now, the beans were the best because basically you could eat them straight away. And sometimes we might have tested out other people's beans as well. Who knows? But wherever it may be, harvest time is a time of rejoicing. And this also applies on a spiritual level. Because with the coming of Jesus, the harvest has begun. Jesus wants us to understand this. It's a lesson that he taught his disciples. Just after Jesus had identified himself to the Samaritan woman as being the Messiah, Jesus' disciples, who had gone into the town to buy food, they came back and they were amazed to see Jesus talking with a woman. Now, it might not seem strange to us perhaps to talk to a woman, but it was accepted Jewish piety for men back then to have limited social interaction with women, and particularly with women who were strangers. So the disciples were amazed to see Jesus speaking with a woman. But here we see that Jesus was prepared to step beyond the ordinary bounds of accepted piety of the day in order to show God's love to this woman. Here we're reminded of the fact that Jesus has come into the world to show God's love, not just to men, but also to women, even immoral Samaritan ones. Basically, whoever. Jesus has come into the world to express something of God's love for the world as a whole. Now, the great respect that the disciples held Jesus in is shown through the fact that even though they had some questions about what was Jesus doing at that moment in time, they didn't actually ask Jesus anything. In their minds, even though it seems strange, Jesus must obviously have had good reasons for speaking with this woman. But as for the Samaritan woman, I imagine that she was probably a little bit embarrassed. We see that she was in a hurry to leave. She had gone out to the well in order to do what? In order to get water. But notice, when the disciples came back, she left in a hurry and she left her water jar behind. She had gone out for physical water, but Jesus' talk about spiritual water had sparked something of great curiosity within her. So much so that she needed to go back to her town and to tell the people, the very people that she had been avoiding previously, now she wanted to tell them about the person that she had just met. The very people who had previously ostracized her and despised her because of her immoral lifestyle, she now wanted to share with them something about her encounter with Jesus. And she told the people in the town, "Come and see this man. He's a person who told me everything that I've done. Could this man be the Christ? Now, when you think about it, this is a remarkable change on the part of this woman. For someone who had previously been avoiding people, it's remarkable how she wanted now to go and to tell the people that she had met a man who had told her everything that she had ever done, including things of which she was ashamed. Now, friends, from this we can see that when the truth about Jesus touches us, we'll be changed. Perhaps our personality might be a shy type of guy or girl, but if we know the truth about Jesus, then we will be emboldened to share Jesus with others. And here we see that anyone can witness to Jesus. You know, there are some people who think, oh, I don't know enough, so I won't say anything. Think about this woman. She had been living an immoral lifestyle. There are many things about her life that she was ashamed about, but her encounter with Jesus had opened her eyes to the possibility that this man was the Christ. And she was prepared to share that information with other people. And the words of this despised Samaritan woman had a great effect on the people in the town. This is all the more remarkable given that the words of women, and especially despised women, were generally regarded back in the culture of the day as not being worth much as far as testimony goes. But the townsfolk had seen a change happen to that woman. Before, she had been avoiding them. Now she's coming to speak with them. And this change that the townsfolk had seen in the woman convinced them that something special, something strange, something worth checking out had just happened. And so we see that many of the townsfolk, they left the city in order to go out and to see exactly what the Samaritan woman had been talking to them about. Now, in the meantime, the disciples, having bought food, they were urging Jesus to eat. But Jesus said to them something rather strange. I have food to eat, which you don't know about. Is Jesus talking about some kind of private stash of food here? Now, we know that Jesus, he was thirsty, right? He'd asked the Samaritan woman for a drink. We know that they'd been walking, Jesus and his disciples, for close on 6 hours already on their way to Galilee. So we imagine that Jesus would also have been hungry. But he was more concerned at this point to teach his disciples an important lesson. He wanted his disciples to understand that there was a more important food that he had, a more important food that his disciples also had need of to eat, a food about which the disciples were not yet clear. Now, the disciples, they didn't understand what Jesus was talking to them about, and they started asking each other, you know, what's he on about? Has someone brought him some food? We've just gone into the town to get food and bring it back, but now he doesn't want to eat it? What's going on? What's the food that Jesus was talking about? What food could be more important than real food that can fill a hungry tummy? Well, Jesus tells us in verse 34, he said to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work." Here in verse 34, Jesus explains what he meant by his reference to food back in verse 32. Jesus' food was to do the will of him who sent him and to complete his work. Jesus' primary food, that which energized him, was obedience to his Father's will. Jesus had been sent into the world by God the Father to do a particular job, and Jesus was committed to completing that job. It was important It was the work that God had given him to do. And because that work had been given to him by God the Father, Jesus' work can rightly be called God's work. You know, in the end, what is it that Jesus had been sent into the world to do? He had been sent into the world in order to build the kingdom of God. And he wouldn't be fully satisfied until that work had been completed. Now he explains this further in verse 35. Do you not say there are still 4 more months until the harvest comes? Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields. See that they are already white for the harvest. Now, it's probable that Jesus was quoting a Jewish proverb at this point. A Jewish proverb that spoke about the 4-month period between planting and harvesting. The barley harvest, we know, took place in March. So this suggests that Jesus was in Samaria earlier than March. He was in Samaria probably at a time in either late winter or early spring, when the crops were not yet ripe. Think about that. The crops were not yet ripe, yet Jesus asked his disciples to look at the fields and to notice that they were already literally white, that is ripe, for the harvest. But what would the disciples have seen? As they looked up and out over the fields, would they have seen anything white, do you think? Remember, it was likely a few months before the time of the harvest. The barley crop would have looked green, not white. But as they looked up, they would also have seen something else. Any ideas as to what the disciples would have seen? Any ideas? When Jesus was having his discussion with the disciples about food, what were the Samaritan townspeople doing? What were they doing? They're on their way to come and see Jesus. At that very moment in time, the people from the town were making their way from the town to meet Jesus. And so, as the disciples looked out on the fields, what would they have seen? They would have seen the green crops, but they also would have seen people wearing predominantly white or cream-coloured clothing, walking through the fields towards them. This is what was white for the harvest. Not the barley, but people. Jesus was wanting his disciples to understand that the end time harvest of the nations that had been prophesied about beforehand by the Old Testament prophets had already commenced as a result of Jesus coming into the world. The old covenant was limited to the nation of Israel, but the new covenant was for all nations. The time for the harvest of the nations had begun. And that is what Jesus wanted his disciples to understand. That was the more important food. Now here we need to understand this imagery that Jesus uses. He goes on to talk about the difference between sowers and reapers. The Old Testament prophets were the sowers who had sowed the seed of God's word. They had laboured in this difficult task without seeing any real fruit for their labours. They had proclaimed the word of God to Israel. But how many of the people of Israel responded positively to what they said? Not many. In general, Old Covenant Israel rejected the prophets. The prophets had been despised, persecuted, imprisoned, even put to death. All in all, the Old Covenant was a time of failure, a time of rejection, a time when people weren't concerned to listen to the Word of God. But in God's plan, things would not stay that way. In God's plan, the Old Covenant time of failure would be replaced by the New Covenant age of success. No longer would God's word be rejected by virtually everyone. Instead, in the New Covenant age, there would be a time of reception rather than rejection. The time of harvest had come, and Jesus' disciples were the reapers. They were receiving the wages and gathering fruit for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper might rejoice together. Now Jesus explained this through the use of another saying, one sows and another reaps. One sows and another reaps. It describes the kind of injustice that sometimes happens in life when a person who hasn't worked for something reaps the benefit of someone else's labour. Has that ever happened to you before? Something good that you've done, but someone else gets the credit for it? Now, this is a little bit similar to how God has structured world history and his plan of salvation. Many servants of God in the time of the Old Testament sowed the word of God, but there was never a great response. But now, in God's plan of salvation, the new covenant age has come. And with the coming of the new covenant, there is also a more powerful and a more comprehensive work of the Holy Spirit to bring about a more positive response to the preaching of the Word of God. A more positive response, not only in Israel, but throughout the world. And friends, this is what the Old Testament prophets looked forward to, the coming of the new covenant and a large-scale return of people in obedience to God. This is the obedience of faith which the Apostle Paul saw being extended to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. So in this way, Jesus was hoping that his disciples would see that they were privileged to work as God's servants in this latter, more fruitful age of salvation history. Jesus' disciples had been sent to reap what they hadn't sown or laboured over. Now, friends, sometimes we as Christians are pessimistic about evangelism. We sometimes tend to think, well, what's the point of telling others about Jesus? Because who's going to listen? I was reading in the newspaper the other day, there's an archbishop in Adelaide, and he said that in the next few years, the Anglican Church in Adelaide could be almost wiped out because there's something like 40 parishes on the verge of closing their doors. And sometimes when we see a situation like that, we see churches closing their doors, we start to think, well, what's the point? It seems like Christianity isn't growing in Australia or in the West. The question is, why isn't it growing? Well, I don't know about the situation in Adelaide, but I could guess that perhaps people have moved away from the true message about Jesus. And when you move away from the true word of God, you also move away from God's power. That's why the churches are closing their doors. We need to understand that we are currently living in a fruitful age. This is the time of harvest. And if we stay true to Jesus and stay true to God's word, there will be a harvest. We as Christians, we need to understand that we are in exactly the same situation as the disciples of Jesus back then. Jesus wanted his disciples to lift up their eyes, to look out and to see it's white for the harvest. As you lift up your eyes, as you look out through that window there, what do you see? Do you see Horsley Park, ripe for the harvest? Do you see this region of Sydney ripe for the harvest? You should see that, because according to Jesus, it is. This is the age in which God's Spirit is powerfully at work, bringing many people back to God. And Jesus is sending us to go out into the fields to bring others back into the storehouse of God's kingdom. Sure, there will be difficulties. Sure, there will be some who won't listen. Sure, there might be some who will laugh at us for being Christians. But there will be a better response to the Word of God now in the New Covenant age compared to back then in the time of the Old Testament. We need to remember that the hard work has been done by others. Our job is relatively easy. You see what Jesus is saying here? He wants us to understand that the fields are already ripe for the harvest. Our food, our job, is to do the will of Him who has sent us. To think about what I can do to share the truth about Jesus with others. And just to prove that point, from that town, many of the Samaritans believed in Jesus because of the word of the woman who had testified to them about how special Jesus was. Not just some Samaritans, we're told, but many. Many Samaritans believed in Jesus. They came to accept the truth that Jesus was the Messiah. And friends, this is how it works. This is how the kingdom of God is built on earth. Through the truth about the lordship of Christ being passed on from one person to another. Through the testimony given to others by those who already know about Jesus. By people like you and me. Now, having believed in Jesus, it was natural for the Samaritans to eagerly welcome Jesus into their midst. We see that they actually wanted Jesus to stay with them. And Jesus, well, he couldn't stay there forever, but he did give them 2 days of his time. And we also need to think about the significance of that as well. Now, these people were Samaritans, the kind of people that Jews avoided. But here we see Jesus staying in a Samaritan village. This would have been highly unusual, something scandalous to do for a Jewish person. But this just goes to show how the new age of salvation in Jesus has broken down the barriers that formerly existed between Jew and non-Jew, which were there during the Old Covenant age. And friends, it's also something for us to keep in mind as we seek to grow our church here. Now, the gospel isn't just for Chinese people, is it? It's for everyone throughout the whole world. And that is something that we need to share with others. Now, as a result of Jesus staying with the Samaritans, we see that many more Samaritans believed in Jesus. As they had the opportunity to meet Jesus for themselves, and as Jesus spoke to them, many more of them came to believe that Jesus was indeed the Messiah. And with a changed attitude now to the Samaritan woman, the townsfolk said to her, "We believe now no longer because of what you said, but because of what we have heard for ourselves. We know that this man is truly the Saviour of the world." Now think about the experience of the Samaritan woman. Once she had been ashamed and ostracised, but her sharing of Jesus had led her to be brought back into the community. And those people who had once despised her now viewed her testimony positively. We can see that by sharing Jesus with her people, this woman had made a valuable contribution to the life of her community. But it was as they interacted with Jesus himself that the Samaritans were strengthened and confirmed in their faith, leading to the acknowledgement that Jesus is truly the Saviour of the world. Do you see what's being said here? And the significance of this? These are Samaritans who are saying that. Jesus is the Saviour, not only of Israel, but the Saviour of the whole world. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God who through his death and resurrection has brought regeneration, new life to God's world. And our job? Well, our job, friends, is to be convinced of that truth. We need to be convinced of the fact that Jesus truly is the Saviour of the world. And being convinced of that fact, what else do we need to do? We need to share that truth with others. Now, if Jesus' food is to do the will of his Father, then our food is to know and to share the Saviour. How have you been going in that regard?